Turn with me to Paul's letter to Colossians chapter 1. And our text is verse 16. And in this text, really the last words that we read here in God's holy word. That notice I read this text again in your hearing. It says, "For by him were all things, by him, that is Christ, for by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him." And it is this last phrase. And then we read towards the end, Paul wrote, "And for him." And I would encourage you to turn with me to Romans chapter 11 and verse 36 in particular. Sometimes we take a verse, but I would encourage brethren, read the previous whole section, chapter. Time would not spare us to go into the reading of longer section. Romans chapter 11, this is the verse 36. Link this verse and link a lot of other texts in the Bible. But before Paul comes to that text, it would do us good if we remember the context of that all he's been writing. That the unbelief of the Jews, notice the hardness of their hearts was that the Gentiles, the way was to be open. And one true Israel, there's only one Israel, only one God's plan of salvation. Not two plans of salvation, one for the Jews and one for the Gentiles, no. And then he's rejoicing and thanking. And then he comes to verse 33, he says, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out." And then, notice when he comes to the end in verse 36, it says, "For of him and through him," and again notice, "and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." And we come back to that again, that text. We turn back to Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, and this phrase, "and for him." Dear friends and brethren, you'll notice this is all happening in the context of the preeminence of Christ. That's the great, grand theme. And that's we're linking back to John. Again, last Sunday evening, that John could write, "We beheld his glory." And now we come to this portion, and it's in the context we want to explore and learn. I mean, so many things can be learned. And this is, I say, when we come to look at this, the Holy Word of God, so much can be said. But what we say, I'm going to glean this evening three things. And notice the three things we want to learn, what we learn from when Paul said towards the end, because he has already stated, he's used the phrase in verse 16, "by him." It's repeated twice, "by him, by him." And then towards the end he says, after again, "all things were created by him." And then he says, "and for him." So he already stated that if Christ, he is our, notice the one, all things were created by him. Yes, we know, were created through him. John chapter 1, but the one who created by him. Now we move further here. What did Paul mean? So three things I will glean. I'm saying more can be drawn, but I will say firstly, secondly, and thirdly. Firstly, all things are for him, in the sense, all things for him, for Christ's glory. That's the first thing we learn. Here, when he says, for him, Paul wanted us, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, to learn that all things are created by him. And the one who is the creator is the agent. He is the agent. Christ is the agent behind all the work of creation. So the agent is the one who deserves all glory. As I've already said last time, the glory is so big word that one word glory encompasses so many words. They are not enough. By glory we've learned that all honor, it's all to explain glory. All honor, all praise, all excellence, like the psalmist says, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. The excellence of God's name in all the earth, and the heavens declare his glory. So the first thing we're learning, all things are for Christ's glory. All things are created by him, and all things created by him indeed for his glory, for his praise, for his honor. They all declare the wonder, the beauty of his name. Just as I alluded this morning, they remember all creation. The all creation must be our study point. And to learn that all declares the glory of God, the goodness of God, his love, unlimited, his kindness. But men and women were spiritually blind. They cannot see. And that's why as the church of Christ, whose eyes are open, that we would see his, Christ's glory. Glory in the sense that it would bring us to praise him more. Every time I look at the work of creation and you see, it should cause us to praise more our Lord Jesus Christ. It should cause us to honor him more. It should cause us to love him more. It should cause us to see his excellence. And to also that ourselves declare his excellence to others. So we have got the infinite subject, and we have so much, and it overwhelms us. And therefore we have to start somewhere. So whenever we are around, and especially in Suffolk, in this whole, this countryside village, we have so much that to praise him. Therefore, my dear friends, take heed. Take this to your heart. As you look around, the heavens declare the glory. We read from Genesis chapter 1 this morning, the work of creation. I wanted to note you, and I would like you to note, not that I'm going through Genesis series at the moment, or chapter 1, but note carefully that as human beings, we can be carried away with the stars. That's one of man's problems. Yes, because we can't reach and find out more about stars. We could look towards heaven and see the night and stars and sun, moon. And why are they there? But you notice, as Christian scientists have written books like that, he made stars also. As if the Lord just wants to teach us a very little reference. No, there are millions, or perhaps billions or trillions of stars. No man knows. But you see, the Lord's concern is, our God's concern is, that he's actually focused the earth. The earth is the stage show of his glory. And notice he says, in the beginning, Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And notice, then more and more focus is on the earth. And all the lamps that God has put there, the sun, moon and star, they are God's lamps. And that all God's lamps are, they are lit in the earth, that men see the glory of God. And they praise Him. They praise God. And they praise God's Son, through whom all things were created. John chapter 1. But we mustn't forget that all things that praise, all things for Christ and for Him. They all things for, firstly, our first heading, for His glory, for His praise. Men and women would want not to acknowledge God's glory, let alone God's Son. They hate. They say, we don't want to hear the name of Jesus Christ. This must spur us. And this is where we learn for that as we read towards the end, and for Him. And this is our great encouragement as Christian, as the church, that while we look at the creation, we are coming to other things and learn that the earth is the stage show of God's glory. We can look at the creation and give Him all praise. But creation was not enough for God's revelation or the knowledge of God. We see there is God, but God revealed His glory in the face of His Son. The Son is the revelation of the Father. He's revealed what God is like. And then, because what is God's being, His character, His attributes alike. So it leads us to the Savior. See that the one who was the Lord of glory, He came to this sinful and fallen world, all but for love's sake. So this, my dear friends, as the Church of Christ, that how much more we, whose eyes are open spiritually, quickened. Once we were spiritually blind, now we have born, we're born again by the Holy Spirit. How much more we are to be, as we look at the work of creation, pointing men ourselves to the praise and the glory of God's Son. That has come all through His Son, through Jesus. That's why when we are witnessing to the unbelievers, this is our theme. The glory of God, the glory of Christ. Why do we glorify Christ? Yes, we see that He is the Son of God. Yes, and He brought us to the praise of God the Father. But we also glorify Him because He is the one, our Creator. So that's the firstly. The first heading. Now I move on to the second. The second heading, and that in this, and for Him. And Him, here we learn, for Him, because He is our God. Now this is worth noting, because that's the context, because as you read, that Paul's concern was, as the Holy Spirit's mind, because there were those who were, there were heresies, and Satan brought, is to make Jesus as a creature. Someone who is a creature. And heresy of Arianism, and the present day we will call, is the Jehovah's Witnesses. They're not truly Jehovah's Witness. To be a true Jehovah, the Witness, a true Christian is. I am not ashamed to say, and I use that strong expression, they are not Jehovah's Witness. Perhaps anyone may not like it, but I have said they are Satan's witnesses. They are not Jehovah's Witnesses. The true Church of Christ is truly, in the true sense, witnesses of Jehovah God. And we learn also that here, look at the context. I've already expounded that passage at length. You can look at the message, would be available on the preeminence of Christ. Therefore, I'm not spending a lot of time here this evening. So you already have that. Because notice that we have already learned that, look at in verse 17. Having stated that, and for him, Paul went on to write, and he is before all things. Let there be no mistake. That Paul wanted to make it crystal clear that the one, that the all things declare his glory, Christ's praise, is not a creature. He is our God. Because that he stated, he's our creator God. Yes, he is the Son of God, and through whom all things were created. But here in this text, in Colossians, Paul wants to show us that he is not only the mediator through whom all things were created, but the mediator himself is the agent. He is our creator God. He is no less than God. He was before all things. Before all things are created. In the beginning, he was there with God, because he has always been with the Father. So he is no creature. He is not any angel. In fact, angel worshipped him, served him. And this is where Paul wants to make it for us, stressing that for him, because the one who deserves our honor, praise, all worship, all our love, respect, he is our God. Because all glory belong to our God. As we learned last Sunday, all glory belong to our God. It does not belong to a creature, not any other angel. Therefore, Christ was not an angel. Heretical groups may say this. We have to shun that. No, sir. His superiority over angels. Turn with me to Hebrews. Just let us read few verses in Hebrews. Because Hebrews chapter 1, as you go through the letter to the Hebrews, speaks of superiority of Christ in chapter 1, that he is superior to all angels, because he created all angels. He was not a creation, and he is our God. And notice that the rest of the letter, there's a better. Christ is better. Better. That as you study that letter. But look at, in that chapter 1, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 7, it says, and of the angels he said, who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers, the servants, a flame of fire. But unto the Son he saith, the Father, says, thy throne, O God. God the Father is saying to his Son, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Hated. Christians are not haters. We don't hate people. But in the true sense, we must hate sin. Because the hatred for sin and iniquity means love to Christ. We are to be ruthless to sin and not ruthless people. Yes, gracious, kind, because sin is serious. And notice that hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. Let's come back to Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. So this is the second thing we're learning, that and for Him, because He is our God. Dear friends, the God deserves all the praise, all our honor, all glory be to His name. This glory covers all magnificence and all the majesty, all is His power. And we sing the power, and we have sung a hymn, I sing the power of the Almighty God. And our Savior is the Almighty God. And we sing the praise of His all holiness, His all goodness and love. Everything, notice, spoken of God, it stands for God. And it is spoken of Christ. And that hence He is the one whom we worship. Well, dear friends, wise men came from the east. Well, people show around that time, sometimes so-called, using the expression Christmas time, on the cards, all the shepherds, the wise men together, it's already been said many times. No, wise men came a little later. Shepherds were the first to give praise. But wise men were really wise. When they came, notice they found a child in the house. And there was Mary, the mother of Jesus. But these wise men knew that the one who is Jesus, Jesus is God. God manifested in flesh. They didn't worship Mary, no Mariology. As they came into that house, this is we must learn and take heed. As they came into the house, and even in the palace of Herod, the proud king, they were not scared. They said, we come to worship Him. It caused a stir. And the whole palace of Herod, there was stir. And that's what happens, my friends, when the church stands for the glory of God. When you stand for the glory of Christ, this is going to cause a stir. It's going to disturb the proud men and women. Those who are taken up in the pride of sin, like Herod. Notice, he had no interest to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. But these wise men traveled long distance. We don't know where they came from, but it was long distance from the east. And they traveled dangerous journey. And they come there and they state crystal clear in Matthew chapter. Why have we come? Why have we come? We come to worship Him. Him. And notice, when they went, they didn't change their mind as they arrived in that house. And they went there and they saw Mary, the mother of Jesus. But when they saw the child, they worshipped Him, not worshipped her. And this is absolutely vital as Christians. I would warn you as the servant of Christ, as you begin to witness, there's going to be rattling. There are people you are going to meet who are unbelievers. They hate Christ. And don't be put off, my friends. I want to encourage you as a servant of Christ. Because there's going to be some rattling, shaking. Because when you're going to tell an unbeliever graciously, kindly, and just open up this, that this sin is horrible, and they're saying, and you don't sing, I'm coming, you sinner, needs to repent, one-to-one basis. But that's why prayer meeting, those will come. I'll share with you one man we went and how he was dishonoring. And the language he used that could have reacted you at that moment to come with righteous indignation that would be the end of our conversation. But the Lord, we remember, gives us that there is time to speak, there's time to be silent. And there's time to be humbly, quietly, bring men and women to show them, point them to Christ. But as you speak of the glory of Christ, Men are not interested. They'll be put off. But we're not to be discouraged, not disappointed. We are in fact to say that this is what, because the world is in darkness. Spiritual darkness. It's a fallen world. But that the Holy Spirit will do His work in His way. And this is your encouragement, my dear friends, Christian. My dear brethren, be encouraged. And this is because the one for Him, all things for Christ, is number one, we learn for His glory. Number two, we're learning here under this secondly, that because He is our God. Oh, we are to be like the wise men. We're to worship at His feet. We want to know more of Him. As Christians and the church, we want to learn more. What did it mean here? Paul was saying, we want to explore more and more. Read the whole letter of Colossians. Read the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation. This is all to show us and teach us. Now we move on thirdly. Thirdly, and for Him, and it's that we've learned that, and now under thirdly, for Him, and we, the church, are for Him and His glory. We, the church, are for Him and His glory. Look at Paul would go on to then say in verse 18, and He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. And read the rest, that He has reconciled us by His life and blood, reconciled to God. That God is reconciled. God is at peace with us, the true church. And it is all because of Jesus and blood. Therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. Yes, devil would accuse the brethren and would almost condemn, but the blood of Jesus Christ, notice, is enough, sufficient. Christian is complete in Christ. As you go further, Paul would teach in Colossians that we are complete in Him. We don't need to add something more or try to be good. It's not what we do, what Christ has done. By His perfect life and blood, He's reconciled us to God. And there's going to be day coming when all things are pointing forward one day, that as He returns in glory, my friends, that there is, the creation is now groaning. Yes, and the church groaning. Christian goes through groaning. Romans chapter 8, I'm just alluding to that. And notice, but they're looking for the future glory, the glory of the sons of God, children. The church will be glorious. The final glory, notice, is yet to come. And then when we will see the glory of Christ face to face, and will gaze, and will go on for eternity. And with the Lord, be with Him in the new heaven and the new earth. But those who are rebel, die in rebellion, rejected the Lord, they will all be with the devil and the wicked. The Bible is not ashamed to say the wicked, that they will be noticed. Read Psalm 1. They will not stand in the judgment. They will all be thrown in the lake of fire for the rest of eternity. And therefore, it is a fearful thing, my friends, as we think of the hell. God forbid that anyone under this roof will end up there. Know that one day we all be in glory with the Lord. That's the wonderful prospects to yet to come. And this is where now the church, now why I'm bringing under thirdly, we, the church, are for Him and His glory. Well, here let me say, and I would not take a lot of time, be that a few moments, some minutes here this evening on this third point, third thing, is that, as I said, that the earth is the stage show for God's glory. That's as you look at in the work of creation. But what we are getting now here is, yes, there is the glory that God declares is revealed in creation. But what we find, that the glory of God returning in the church, and this is returned. Ichabod, no glory. The glory departed. But there was wonderful promise. As you study the book of Ezekiel, as those who have studied, study the last few chapters of Ezekiel and some of the books of the Old Testament. The departed glory was now to return in the new temple. And the new temple is the church. That's why, as the church of Christ, we do not want any more physical temples to be rebuilt. Any preacher, and I am not ashamed to say this, any preacher, or any, no matter how famous he may be, we are to stay away from the idea that there be new temple or the new rebuilding. No, there's no need anymore. Because in John's Gospel, Christ Himself is called the temple. And the temple was destroyed. And He Himself said to the people, destroy it, and I'll build in 3 days. He meant regarding His crucifixion and resurrection from the dead. But the same phrase, the temple expression, is also used for the church. The Lord does not destroy the temple, His church. But notice, when it comes to the church, the imagery of the temple, the language that is used is of the cleansing, not the destruction. I want to encourage you, as a servant of Christ, in the church of Christ, whether in this place, up and down the land, around the world, the Lord in His gracious way, He cleanses. And sometimes there is cleansing taking place. Or once two people may rise against, or in the house of God, but the Lord does sometimes cleansing. So therefore, we have to take encouragement, and we have to put our finger on lips and say, the Lord, your thoughts are not my, the depths of His. The Lord does in His way. And then, of course, He purifies His bride, the church. He's cleansing us. Ephesians chapter 5, that He'll have one day the bride without any wrinkles and without any impurity, that we will be that glorious bride with the Lord forever. So what I am here drawing your attention under our third heading, thirdly, that the church is the place where glory is returned. The glory of God returning in the new temple, the church of Christ. And the Lord declares His glory, His praise. He shows forth through us. The one who was once dead in sinners, guilty, condemned, but now reconciled to God through Jesus Christ, because of Jesus and His blood, that we are now the trophies of His grace, the church. And He shines His glory through the church, which is far better than through creation. Yes, creation, that is wonderful. We can look at the excellence of the name of the Lord in all the earth, but it's more excellent to that the world sees the glory of Christ's light through me, through you, and as we shine as beacons of light. Yes, sun, moon, these big lamps that God has given for physical creation, they are very good, yes. So the world, man would see, ah, but men and women are spiritually blind. They cannot see. But when they see sinners saved by God's grace, you, Christ's light shining through, it should attract. It will attract. Perhaps sometimes it will distract. Other someone, they don't want to be in fellowship with you because those whose works are evil, they don't want to come in light. Yes, unconverted man wants to hide in darkness of sin. But the Lord Jesus is seeking the gracious Savior. But when it comes to true saints, my friends, be encouraged. Sometimes when you are walking in the light, our fellowship is in the light, what happens? That those who walk in secrecy of sin hide or something behind the scene that is not of Christ. And for His glory, you will find that when you walk with the Lord in the light, person doesn't want to sit with you. If somebody wants to move away more from you, they think they don't want to come into the light. Because the light shines and exposes our sinfulness. And men don't want to change. They want to remain in sin as they are. Well, the gospel changes. It's that changes. And that's why now, notice God who is light, He said, you, the church, Christ has said, ye are the salt of the earth. And then Jesus said, ye are the light of the world. And the church, we are. We reflect. We don't have light in ourselves. We're just like a reflector. The light of Christ that shines, we're reflecting the glory. We're reflecting the light that we've received. The light, notice, the light that Christ has shown in our hearts. Oh, my friend, this is far better than the earth. The church on the earth is that place where the world would see the glory of Christ. And will. And is seeing. And that's why we must take this great encouragement as the church. As I draw the conclusion now. In conclusion, dear friends, let us mark that the light and darkness, Christ is light. He is the light of the world. And ye are the light. He said, ye are the light. Let your light shine. A city built on hill cannot be hid. And that is why we are where God puts us as the church. But the darkness of sin is dark. It's pitch black. As you step out and late night, it is pitch black. There is no street light here. And even with our little torches, still sometimes we struggle to see what is few feet away. Because it's pitch black. Think of sin. As I was describing sin to the people at Gurney Road when I came among you and I preached. I said, this is going back 2-3 years ago. And I said that when you go to Watersham, the night time, you want to know the blackness of sin, how dark. I think that's a good picture, illustration. Pitch black. That you can't see. So this is the darkness. And we have to pray that those, that the Christ's light would shine. And also that the church, we are for Him and His glory. And as I said, the first thing in conclusion, dear friends, we learn. Now we come back to this text. Colossians chapter 1 verse 16. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be throne or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. First thing we learn, and for him, I repeat this, and for him and for his glory. And then for him, because he is God. He is our God. And thirdly, for him, we are for him, his child, for his glory. We are his possession. He's not only set us free by paying the price of his life and blood, freedom from the bondage of sin and Satan, that's redemption, redeemed. But another side to redemption is not set us, not only just set us free, but he's bought us to be his precious possession. Because he bought us with his own price, by paying the most precious price, that we would show forth his glory. May the Lord be gracious to you and to us, that we would go on doing so in these dark and dangerous times. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we are conscious that we've just gleaned three things, seeking to learn what did it mean, and for him. Show us more of thy glory. Cause us that we would be those who are searching the scripture, meditating upon the glory of Christ through the pages of the Holy Scriptures. We ask it through our Savior's name. Amen.